Moving into hour number three. Welcome back. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Nice to have you here. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide and in Canada, wherever you can hear us. 1-800-636-8686. I'm Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. All right, so starting hour number three, I want to change up on you. More telephone calls coming up a little bit later on. But as promised, we are joined right now by an acclaimed film director, a producer, an editor, a screenwriter. He is an Emmy Award winner. He has also been nominated for an Oscar as well. He is on the faculty of New York University's Tisch School of the Arts. And he is the director of a new Netflix documentary titled Bill Russell Legend. It's going to be released next Wednesday, February 8th. My guest is Sam Pollard. Sam, it's really nice to have you on the program. How are you, Sam?
I'm good, Jim. How are you today?
Good, good. Good to visit with you. And I'm curious, based on the breadth of the subjects that you focused on in your distinguished career, I'm curious, how did you get involved in this project? And then, Sam, how much did it mean to you to ultimately be asked to direct it?
I was approached by one of the executive producers, Ross Greenberg, who used to be the president of HBO Sports. We had worked together before, and he asked if I'd be interested in directing a documentary, initially a series about Bill Russell. And, you know, Jim, I grew up in the 60s, so I was very familiar with Bill Russell, familiar with his rivalry with Wilt Chamberlain, you know, and the other players from that period, like Bob Cousy and Oscar Robertson and Elgin Baylor. So this was like a no-brainer. I said yes immediately because, you know, I was interested in understanding who Bill Russell was besides being this great basketball legend.
You know, Sam, the last thing I want to do in talking to somebody like you about somebody like Bill Russell is make it about me. But if I can indulge you for one moment, I remember interviewing Bill Russell years ago, earlier in my career. And I can remember thinking at that time, really every time, but especially at that time, every single year, a few times a year, Sam, I feel like stakes or moments for me personally are much higher than they normally are. Like everything matters. Everything matters, but a couple of times a year, everything matters even more. I knew in that moment that speaking with Bill Russell was not only going to be one of the more significant moments of that year, but maybe of a career or a lifetime. This is how highly I regarded him and how desperate I was to earn his respect and not waste his time. I bring this up because I want to ask you, what was your approach the first time you met with him, and what was that first encounter like?
Well, you know, he's at a stage in his life where I would say he probably wasn't as sharp as he had been maybe 4 or 5 years before. So he was sort of quiet. But what he was talking about when I spoke to him and I asked him a few questions, he really went back to his childhood days at McClendon High School, talked about his days at USF. And one of the things he really spoke about was the fact that the Harlem Globe tried under the leadership of Abe Saperstein had tried to draft him after college. And his father said, my son will never play for the Harlem Globetrotters because he's throwing his clowns. And he stuck to his guns. Those are the things that I remember in meeting Bill and talking to him, you know, in this brief period of about the last year of his life.
Sam Pollard is joining us. So, Sam, the story of Bill Russell, of course, as you mentioned, transcends sports with his significant involvement in the civil rights movement. How did you attempt to balance sports with the larger societal impact he had, and was that challenging?
It was very challenging because we had to try to figure out how long should we stay on the segment of Bill with his basketball career, and when should we make the turn back to his activism, his civil rights activism, his human rights activism. So, for example, we knew that at a certain point when we dealt with the rivalry between Bill and Wilt Chamberlain on the court, we talked about it to a degree. Then we said, okay, now it's time to make the turn back to what else was happening for Bill in the mid-60s. And that was Dr. King's March in Washington. That was Charles Evers inviting Bill to go down to Jackson, Mississippi after the death of his brother, Meg Evers. Those were things we felt we had to deal with. And then as we unfolded that, you know, in telling storytelling, we decided, okay, let's get back to what happened to the Celtics by the time Bob Cousy had decided to retire? What would happen to the Celtics? So it took us back to Bob Cousy announcing his retirement and the impact it would have on the Celtics and Bill Russell. You know, and it was this dance. Sometimes we had too much basketball before we went back to his activism. So we had the lessons on the basketball to get to the activism sooner. Sometimes we had too much backstory about it. Is civil rights and human rights activism. So we had to say, okay, we need to shorten that to get back to the basketball. So it wasn't like it was easy. It was a little bit of a dance.
You bet. Sam Pollard joining us. In fact, I'll do that dance myself. I'll kind of bounce back and forth. You mentioned Bill and Wilt on the court. How would you characterize that kind of, or that rivalry, that relationship? And then how did Bill view it?
It was an intense rivalry because here were two of the most dominant centers in the game going up against each other, you know. And Bill knew he didn't have the height. He was only 6'9", and Chamberlain was 7'2". He knew that Chamberlain had more weight on him, and he knew he couldn't really stop Will Chamberlain from scoring points, but he could contain him to a degree as an offensive player where it would help the other Celtics score more points. And usually the Celtics would beat the team that Wilt was on. So it was really understanding for Bill, it was about, it's not about your individual stats. It was about you being a part of a team. And that being a part of a team was something that had been drilled into these guys, into Sean and into Casey, into Sam, into later John Havlicek, by Ed Auerbach, because he knew it wasn't about just individuals. It was about the team effort, which would lead to winning games and which would lead to championships.
We were talking to Sam Pollard. So when you're talking championships, of course, you're talking about 11 championships in 13 years. Sam, with Tom Brady announcing his retirement, the so-called greatest of all time conversation comes up yet again. But when you assess the career of Bill Russell, is there any doubt that he was the greatest winner of all time going back to his college days at the University of San Francisco?
There's no doubt on my part that I bet you if you spoke to someone of a younger generation, there would be, every generation is going to have who they consider the greatest. I was saying to someone, if you're between the ages of 20 and 35, you say, who's the greatest of all time in basketball? I bet you 9 out of 10 people say LeBron. If you're between 35 and 50, you ask people, they'd probably say Michael Jordan. My generation, I would say Bill Russell. So it's really hard to think who is the greatest of all time because the style of play, the skills you need to play the game, the athletic prowess, the exercise regimen that happens now, it's a different game. But, a lot of the things that Bill Russell did on the court and off the court are things that players like Steph Curry and LeBron have taken to heart and understand that they, too, need to have a voice and not just shut up and dribble.
Sam Pollard joining us. Sam, in terms of Bill Russell off the floor, he was an absolute icon and the city's most decorated champion ever, but the city of Boston was dealing with some serious racial issues while the Celtics were stacking those world championships. That said, how would you describe Bill's relationship with the city of Boston?
Well, it wasn't the one that was conducive to him smiling. I mean, probably why he has such a major chip on his shoulder. Here's the guy who comes out of the Olympics, winning gold, gets drafted by the Celtics, and basically becomes the linchpin for leading the Celtics to win 11 championships in 13 seasons. Now, you would think that the Boston fans would embrace him, without any question. But no, they didn't. When there was polls taken, people were asking about who's the best player on the Celtics, most of that crowd would say Mr. Bob Cousy, the Houdini of the hardwood. Because he was a white man who played an extraordinary game of basketball. No taking away from Bob Cousy. But if it wasn't for Bill Russell being the dominant offensive center, a defensive center, the Celtics would have won all those championships. But the audience, the people are attracted to someone who looks like them, who sounds like them, so they went with Bob Cousy.
I remember the first time I sat with Bob Cousy as well, and that was even long before I met Bill Russell. I mean, he was such a unique figure as well. I'm curious, what was it like for you to sit with Bob Cousy? And if you had asked Cousy at that time who the most dominant or most critical component or player on that team was, what would Cousy have said?
Well, the first interviews we did, Jim, was with Bob Cousy and Ty Chandler, two of Bill's teammates. And it was, for me, an extraordinary pleasure to sit, in front of Bob Cousy and to later sit in front of Ty Chandler. But what Bob Cousy said in the interview, and he says in the film, he says when Bill first came to the Celtics, I was the man. And then after a few years, Bill Russell became the man. Bob Cousy understood how important Bill Russell to the team was, how important he was to the team, and why he was the man after a certain number of years, and not Cousy.
I think that's cool, Sam, though. You sat down, even you, given what you've accomplished in the life you've lived, that when you sat in front of Bob Cousy, that you kind of had that kind of feeling. Was there anybody else? I mean, you, some of the biggest names in the history of the sport sat down for this doc. Magic, Larry Bird, Dr. J, Bill Bradley, Bob Cousy, Isaiah, Bill Walton. Was there anybody else who sat down that you spoke to that who really stood out or said anything that shocked or surprised you?
Well, Bill Walton is an extraordinary guy. Funny man, complicated man. He lives in a man cave that's a whole house in San Diego. He has paraphernalia and memorabilia from the Celtics and the Grateful Dead. You know, and he was just so great about his love for the Celtic Green and Red Auerbach and Bill Russell, you know, extraordinary. I mean, to sit before Oscar Robertson was a pleasure, was a real pleasure for me. To sit in front of, you know, and interview Isaiah, Bill Bradley and Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe. Whoa, man. I grew up in the city of New York where the Knicks, the 60s, were the team to beat at a certain point in the late 60s, early 70s. So sitting in front of Walt Frazier and sitting in front of, you know, Earl Monroe, wow, I couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah, you know, Sam, I'd say the same thing. You know, I come from that generation. When you lay that out, like if you're of this age, then you're a LeBron person. If you're this age, you're an MJ guy. I'm an MJ guy, at least from that generation. I'm a Kobe guy, too, because Kobe and I live pretty close by in Orange County here in California. But when you mention Oscar Robertson, you know, we could talk about Bill Russell is unparalleled in what he did off of the floor, but I had a similar experience when I sat with Oscar Robertson for the first time as I did when I sat with Bill Russell. They do not suffer fools, and you do not waste their time. These are very serious gentlemen. What about Oscar Robertson? What do you think about him as a player and a man?
Same thing, man.
Same thing, right?
Very serious man. You know, he came in, he sat down in Florida. We were in Orlando. He sat down, he did the interview. He was succinct to the point. You know, he was fantastic. It was just fantastic to me. You know, and you know, I'd seen Oscar Robertson play. But wow, man. Sitting in front of Oscar Robertson, wow. To sit in front of Bill Bradley and Walt Frazier, woo, man.
Bill Bradley, too, man. So I sat with him years ago. Fascinating. Sam, I'm getting a huge kick out of how much of a kick you got out of sitting with these guys. But, you know, in terms of being a journalist and a director, you're also obviously a huge fan at heart. Let me finally ask you, from a sports perspective, we're never going to see another Bill Russell in terms of somebody winning 11 championships, not the way the NBA is set up, not with all the parity. No. We know this. But from a larger context, do you think we'll ever see an individual who will replicate his impact beyond sports, and especially in a divisive era in which we currently live?
I don't think so. I think he's unique. He's one of a kind. And I don't think there'll ever be anyone who'll break that mold and follow him. Not to the same degree.
I agree.
Not to the same degree at all.
This documentary is in two parts. Sam, one last thought. Was it hard, given how much he accomplished on and off the floor, to break this doc or this film into two parts and get it all in? Because I would imagine there were plenty more episodes that you could have done.
Yeah, I mean, we could have done probably six episodes. But sometimes, you know, you do things in sequences that you think impactful can just drag on. So we had to make some decisions, which you always have to do. And I think it's at the right length and right time now. Initially, it was going to be 4 one-hour shows. And then we decided, with the consultation with Netflix, to bring it into two films, which I think serves the material and serves Bill Russell even better.
The documentary is called Bill Russell, Legend. It's going to be released next Wednesday, February 8th. It's a Netflix documentary. He is an acclaimed film director. He is a producer, an editor, a screenwriter, an Emmy Award winner, Oscar nominated as well. He is Sam Pollard. Sam, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that conversation. Thank you.
My pleasure, too. Take care.
You too, Sam. Sam Pollard. All right, looking forward to that. I've told that story before, but Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, these are serious, serious people. And these are guys that I made sure that before I sat with them, I wanted to make sure that I'd earned the right to sit with them and that I was ready to sit with them and have conversations with them. And this was intimidating. There's only been a handful of times where I've been intimidated to sit down before somebody else and do an interview. And those were two times. Don't mess with those dudes at all. And I thought that was interesting. Sam said, yeah, they're kind of like the same guy. Just no nonsense. Sam Pollard, hope you enjoyed that. That was actually really, really powerful. I enjoy that a lot. Another conversation that I thought was really powerful is one that I had yesterday with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. And he also is the subject of his own documentary, and it's called The Stand. Or actually, it's called Stand, where you may or may not recall, but he was not standing for the national anthem in the mid-90s. And within a moment, he was one of the best players in the NBA. Unbelievable player. And then he made that choice. He made that decision, and within a couple of years, he was out of the league altogether. And I asked him, were you blackballed from the NBA because of that choice? And I thought his reaction was really interesting. We get into that. We get into what happened to his life after he was out of the NBA. He had hit rock bottom. He went broke. And when he says, Rome, when I say broke, I mean broke. Like the candles were on. That's how we were getting heat. Just really, really thick, deep, fascinating conversation with Mahmoud. So that's part of episode 253 of the Jim Rome Podcast, which I pushed out yesterday. Jim Rome's Big Head Bets is pushing out today. Damn, like, we're in it now. We're pushing out a lot of content. And I'll be on the road next week in Glendale. And that right there was an Emmy Award-winning director. So we're going a lot of different ways with it. After a beef segment, and after somebody trying to tell me that I'm wrong when I say that sex is undefeated and diarrhea is undefeated, because diarrhea would take down sex any day of the week. This is the range you get on this show.
Is the great equalizer. Think about it.
Now, I'm not asking you who you would take, all right? I just said they've never played. That's why they're both still undefeated. I'm not talking about fighting out of your weight class. I'm not talking about two fighters in different weight classes. I'm talking about two different sports. They don't play each other. Follow? Two different sports.
Are you following me, camera guy?
A center in the NHL does not match up with an MMA champion. Two different sports. I stand by what I said. Hey, Jim, you want some levity today? Take my call and find out how you, the idol maker, helped me finally jump the shark and get noticed by a Hollywood celebrity. Parody Larry is freaking relentless. Chuck, how long has this been going on? He's been trying to tell this story. Go ahead, put on your earbuds. Chalk is going to jump in here. Tommy's EP. Like, he calls with it. He tweets with it. He emails with it. How long has Larry been trying to tell you and me and everybody else this story?
It's been every day for the last 2 weeks. And he also called and then accepted that he needed to get off the line for the beefs and get out of the way. And then immediately, as soon as the beef segment was
over, that was
right
awfully big of him. That was awfully magnanimous of him to understand the format and understand that I was not going to take his call anyway. So he just gave us a little more of a taste. He's been stringing us like I give a damn. Like that was somehow the way to hook me in. Do you have any idea what his little story is?
That's as much information as I have as well.
All right, you're the EP. Your opinion should count. Yes or no?
I mean, I kind of have a little soft spot for Larry. I know that's like not my best trait.
Why? It's one of your worst traits.
Yeah. Just because of effort. I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the hustle. And every once in a while, there are some gems. It's like every once
gem
in a while.
Gem is a strong word, dude.
Year.
There was one gem.
Yeah.
When he bum-rushed the set at Super Bowl. And by gem, I mean really forgettable. And I wish it didn't happen, but it was one of the highlights of his life.
Methylene was okay. Caleb's waistband I loved. There have been a couple since I got here that I actually enjoyed.
All right, that's fair.
So Methylene's, for that reason, I say yes.
All right. And just because I asked you your opinion, that doesn't mean, hey, Larry, I asked him his opinion. Doesn't mean you're getting on. I just asked him his opinion. Okay, thanks. Chalk? It might be sustained. You may not be overruled. I haven't decided. But if your opinion didn't matter, you'd be the wrong guy at the wrong time, the wrong job, and your opinion matters, and I want to know. Like, I would ask Alvin, but Alvin has more soft spots than you do. You're an angry New Yorker, so I thought maybe you'd bring the hammer down, but you didn't. Like Alvin, as an example, yes or no to Larry and what is sure to be an extremely disappointing story and letdown. Alvin was immediate yes. An immediate yes.
Yeah.
Cindy, yes or no? Yes? Cindy said yes. Cindy said, I like him. Yes, Cindy, and you also like bathroom humor and flatulence. Diarrhea jokes. Actually, Larry, like, the whole house is a yes but me. Unfortunately for you, Larry, I'm the only one who matters. We'll see. I just know that if I let you in, you're going to let me down. I know this, Larry. I know this. What Hollywood celebrity would know you, Larry? And how do we define celebrity? Anyway, I'll think about it. I thought about it. You're not going to see a light of day, old man. I don't know, Larry. Maybe. Maybe. Just know this, Larry. Know this, Larry. I don't need it. If I let you in, it's because I'm hoping you make it better. I'm good. You see? I'm good. I don't need it. So, Larry, ask yourself, are you going to make it better? But then again, you all think you do. Like Wells. In the last week, the Jungle has had Rex in the ABQ, Denlesks, and now Nooch, all making triumphant returns, just waiting on Terrence. Fingers crossed, that'll never happen. I wish it would. But then again, I'm afraid he did call. The only thing better than Terrence, well, nothing. Nothing. The only thing in the same neighborhood as Terrence would be Jim and Fall River. But I would say of those two, Jim and Fall River might be even more unlikely. All right, when we come back, maybe Larry, maybe, I'll think about it. Anybody else? Phone lines are open. You can find me on Twitter. James Kelly and I will do a Jim Rome Big Head Bets. The Pro Football Doc was locked and loaded. He doesn't care that it's a week before the week. He's got lots of takes on lots of things. So we'll talk about health and how that's going to impact that game. We'll talk Super Bowl offline on Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. That's coming up after the program. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient. They're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from their professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. So I would say that I like to joke, but I'm not joking. I like to say I am the idol maker. And I am. How many idols have I made? How many people have come through here and parlayed appearances or jobs or any kind of exposure from this program into much bigger things than what they currently had? Lots. I am the idol maker. I take pride in that. And by the way, I'm not here to hate. I'm proud of everybody who comes through here, makes use of a platform that I'm putting out there for you every single day. I've built this platform. Come play on it. Use it. Advance your life. I want to help people. I want to elevate people. I want to lift people up. So I am the idol maker, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. So Larry says, it's true. It's true, Rome. It's true. I have a story. I'm like, sure you don't. And Larry keeps trying. Larry keeps trying. Larry keeps trying. I put it to the vote of the XR4TI. They're unanimous. They all said yes. I want to be true to my word. I want Larry to be an idol. I just don't want to be disappointed by him yet again. I mean, I'm pretty thick-skinned, but there's only so much I can take, Lawrence, honestly. And I just can't live with people promising something and then not delivering and letting me down. You got to be true to your word. I know you think you are. I know you believe in your heart of hearts this is a great story, but I've got a feeling it's not going to be. Here's my fear, Larry. If it's an A, I'm the happiest guy in the world. If it's an F, I'm even happier. But if it's a C-, bro, I'm pissed. But per usual, there's only one way to find out, and I guess deep down, I have a softness in my heart, too. You are relentless. You do love the show. Not as much as you love yourself, but you do love the show. Larry, be ready. I'm coming to you, Larry. And it's going to happen in less than 5 seconds. We go to line three. Parody Larry with a story about an encounter with a Hollywood celebrity who may have known who he was. Larry, it's time. You've been on hold 2 weeks. Larry, are you ready? Larry, are you ready? The entire nation is waiting for this story. Are you ready, Larry? Because I'm not. I want to think about this again. I'm not sure I want to do this. I'll think about it during the break, Larry. So why don't you just sit your ass on hold, because you've already been there 2 weeks. What's another segment? We're going to take a short break, and we're going to get a sports update in here. And I want to think for another 5 minutes as to whether or not I want this to happen. Because I don't know yet, Larry. That's how my brain works. I want to make the right decision. I have to do what's best for the show, Larry. And rarely are you what's best for the show. Other than that one time you glossed Kathleen Methlene, I don't remember you doing something that was the best for the show. So you can think about it 5 more minutes, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. Nothing's guaranteed, Larry. Except maybe you staying on hold for another day. We'll find out. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Will I or won't I? Should I or shouldn't I? The saga of Parody Larry. All right, so I put it to a vote of the XR4TI crew, my crew. Now I'll put it to a vote of the internet and the listening audience. Do you want Parody Larry's story? Should I put him on? Quick, hit me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Quick, email me. Rome@haveatake.com. Jamie writes, Rome, I can't sleep. I can't eat. I need to know what Larry has for us. The anticipation for Parody Larry is killing me. Sean writes, don't take Larry's call. He doesn't make it better. Rick and Chico writes, Romy, you are the slick Van Smack today. Cindy did a great job on your hair. Wore the continuing story of keeping Larry on hold. To be fair, Cindy does a great job on my hair every single day. It's not nearly as good as she makes it look, but today's not different than any other day. Cindy, no offense, fellas, is the most consistent member of the XR4TI. My hair always looks the same when she's here. Drew in West LA, quote, we don't want take Larry or story Larry. Susie from Wisco. Hi, Jim. I vote Larry. Let him give you the opposite of an A. Susie, that's great. As long as it's not a C-. At Jeff's a badass. Romy, why would you doubt me? I was a huge get for you on Radio Row. I have clout. Signed, Larry. Jeremy Lanza, quote, you're lucky he even performs for you XR4TI bastards. Leave at Parody Larry alone. Hashtag free Larry. Hey, I'm not the bastards. Trying to run a show here. I'm trying to keep this show here. All right, Larry. They have voted. I have thought about it. I would say what's the worst that could happen, but something pretty crappy could happen. But you have been trying for 2 weeks, every single day, hour on hour. I'm ready. Let's do this. We go to line number 3, Lawrence. Parody Larry apparently has something special, and it's not a bad parody. It's a story. I'm doing this. Lawrence, you're on the air. What's up?
Jimmy, my man, I can't thank you enough. Apparently, the great director Ron Howard of Happy Days fame is a big fan of your show, and he's heard some of my songs on the radio, liked it so much, he hired me to write the theme for his upcoming TV miniseries about the sad state of the Indianapolis Colts. So here it is. Sunday, Monday, crappy days. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, carnap days. Thursday, Friday, he sucks up to her, say. Jeff, Saturday, go away. We're losing each week with you. Where did they find this coach out on the street? He boasted to the press his Colts would not be beat. But every day in Indy is a crappy day. They're crappy days on war that...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Moron. You liar, Larry. No way. Larry told a lie. Hey, Larry, let me see if I have this story straight.
You're a liar.
You're a felon. You probably are, Larry. Let me see if I have this story straight. You probably are, Larry. What you just did is felonious to this show. You just, like James Kelly before you, you just committed first-degree murder to my program. Larry, did you just say that you ran into Ron Howard on the street? And Ron Howard is making a movie about the Colts? And that Ron Howard commissioned you to write a song or the soundtrack for that movie? And you turned it into a Crappy Days parody? Larry, there is no letter to signify what you just did, A, B, C, D, or F. The letter is crap. The letter is diarrhea. Dude, you're undefeated. That's your story? That's your Hollywood encounter. You see what I mean? This is what my fear was. It wasn't going to be an A or an F. It's not even a C minus. That fits no category other than a category of diarrhea. Larry, be honest, because you sure as hell weren't during that call. Were you sitting on that moronic tune since November when Jeff Saturday got hired? You know you were. And you just repurposed it with a lie because you knew that you couldn't get in the door with it. It's like you had this song. Oh yeah, you're a liar, Larry. You're a liar, Larry. Larry, I can deal with a bad parody or a million. I can deal with you being Parody Larry but calling up with horrible takes and being bad take, Larry. But what I will not accept, Larry, is you lying to me. I don't lie to you. A man is only as good as his word, dude, and you're lying out your ass. Very disappointed in you, Larry. I mean, normally I'm just kind of disgusted by you, but now I'm disappointed, Larry. You literally lied to the planet. You lied your way in. You lied your way in. And even if you tell a white lie or a big ass lie and you pay it off, then it's okay. I'm not condoning dishonesty, but for the purposes of the show, if you're going to lie, at least pay it off, dude. Do not pay it off with some moronic parody you've been sitting on since Jeff Saturday got hired. It would have been equally moronic then. That's why you didn't get through, Larry, right? So what do you think of yourself? Man, he just doesn't know. Rome doesn't know. This song's incredible. Sunday, Monday, crappy days. This is an amazing parody, but nobody will know if I can't convince Rome to hear it. So I'm going to spend 4 months making up a lie to get Rome to let me through. And it worked. You got through, bro. Larry, what if that's the last call that you ever make to this show that gets on the air because you lied to me and it was that bad? See, you know what the problem is, Larry? Here's the problem, Larry. You're like the old man who cried wolf. The problem is you may, in fact, actually get a big break one day. And if so, it'll be because of me. But you may, in fact, get a big break one day. Or there may be a big break available to you one day, but because you lied to me, you lied to the universe, and the universe doesn't like that crap, and you're not going to get that big break. You get what you put out there, old man, and what you put out there was a big-ass lie. Come on, Larry. After all I've done for you. Man, that is disappointing. Even for you, Larry. Can somebody pick me up and end this show on the truth? I'll take your reaction. Man, that was bad. That was worse than bad. Eddie from Rhode Island's like, you got your wish, F. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't. Like an F, when things are so bad, they're good. There was nothing good about that. Like, I'm trying to find a way to describe exactly what that was. That was not an F. That was not just bad. You know what that was? That was a lie. I don't like liars. So disappointed in Larry's performance. He took a massive dump in his pants. Just like Mr. Lobster's faithful. Angus in 319. Larry always dumps in his pants. We expect that. That's the expectation. But he literally spent 2 weeks on hold telling that lie to Chalk. Oh, I got a story. I got a story. Rome will like it. Let's go back to the phones. Larry, it's going to take a long time for me to forgive you for that. And by a long time, I mean pretty much never. Let's go to Oxnard. Manny, pick me up. Manny in Oxnard. Manny, what's up?
Man, Smack, you know you can always count on me. Hey, listen, I just want to bring up real quickly, why do people keep crapping on Oxnard? For all those of you that aren't aware, Oxnard is the strawberry capital of the world. So the next time you have those nice sliced and diced strawberries on top of your vanilla ice cream or whatever the hell you put them on top of, okay, Oxnard got them to you. Hey, Rome, real quickly, the Lakers, man, I got to tell you, it hurts to have to watch them play, but especially when they play the freaking Clippers. I mean, as if it isn't bad enough to see Ballmer having an aneurysm after his 15 Pfizer shots on the sideline, on, you know, the courtside seats in crypto, okay? That's bad enough. But being, you know, the Lakers being the bitch of the Clippers, that's ridiculous. We're the most storied franchise other than the Celtics. And it's well below average. Now, last thing, Rome, I know I'm up against the clock, the Eagles. All I want is for the Eagles to take the Chiefs down. And it's not because I'm a Raider fan and I'm hating on the Chiefs, okay? But I don't want to see Mahomes' girlfriend slash wife or whatever the hell she is acting a fool with his brother, okay, in the suite. I'm sick of that. Please stop. Rome, have a great rest of your week. I'll be listening next week to all the great interviews. Love you, Van Smack. Out.
Nice job, Manny. You did pick me up. Definitely. I mean, Larry, no offense. Actually, I don't care if you do take offense. That was like a million times better than what you did. And all he did was call up and hype Oxnard for being the strawberry capital of the world, say that he hates the fact that the Lakers are the Clippers' bitch. They are. And talk about how he wants Philadelphia to win because he's sick of Patrick Mahomes' family. And for the record, most of the world is. And that's all that guy had to do to be a million times better than you, Lawrence. Lawrence, you see what I'm saying? I don't care that you suck. I just don't like you lying to me. Let me ask you this, Larry. Because I know you, Larry. Are you going to call up next week when I'm on Radio Row and lie about the time or about how you just met Dak Prescott at a party and then sing your Hit the Road Dak parody that you've been trying to get on the air with.
Old dreams, no more, no more, no more, no more. Lost to the pack and say goodbye to Romo.
You know, Larry, you know you were going to do that. Larry, you know you were going to do that. I'll make up for it now, Rome. I'll make up for it now, Rome. Rome, I know I let you down. I know I lied to you. I know I lied to the jungle. I can make it up to you. Rome, it's incredible. I swear, Rome. I swear I met Dak Prescott. I did. And he commissioned me, and I sang him this song, Hit the Road, Dak. Larry, don't. I know you're going there next week. Don't. Larry, do not come to Glendale. Do not come on the set. And most of all, Larry, for the love of God, stop lying to me. Here's a story. You're finished. That's the story. The end. Yeah, that's my parody. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. I know that sounds unnecessarily harsh. I'm not asking for a hell of a lot. Just don't lie to me. Have a take. Don't suck. Don't lie to the host. Have a take. Don't suck. Don't lie to the host. My thanks to Sam Pollard. My thanks to Howard Beck. The big head, James Kelly, and I are going to knock out a podcast, Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. And we are going to start taping that in 15 minutes out.